Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
College football, players on the move, the Duke's Mayo Bowl coming up for the Gophers Friday, January 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Minnesota, a handed favorite right now over Virginia Tech, Pete. Virginia Tech going the wrong way at the end of the season, especially since their quarterback, Kyron Drones, was injured in Week 9. Mm-hmm. PJ Fleck undefeated in bowls. I mean, you know, for all that everyone loves to say about him, the man wins in the bowl games. Now, granted, they haven't all been the greatest bowl, but, you know, he wins. And that's, I think that's worth quite a bit. How are you feeling about the Mayo Bowl, first of all?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of people are very excited about that bowl, actually, just because of where it is. Obviously, you get into the Carolinas, a lot of people want to go somewhere like that. That's probably got a good shot at having some good weather. And I'll tell you, people can say whatever they want. I know there's all sorts of pushback and everything else, but I think this is a testament to who PJ is. The recruiting that he's been able to accomplish, Dave, has been absolutely incredible. I think we've seen a lot of players that we probably hadn't seen the status of those type of players coming to the University of Minnesota, and we're starting to see more and more of that. And, you know, that's what's got me so excited. And you and I talk about this more and more, about the fact that I finally buried the hatchet and said, you know what, the portal's okay. But
that's,
you know,
a big
and
swing
I
for you, by the way.
There's a lot of things about the portal that still do bother me, to be honest with you, depending on why somebody's leaving. But that's a different story. I think as far as what the Gophers have been able to do going into the portal, and maybe it's because of the fact that we've had a little bit more time, the game's not till the third. There's a lot of reasons why that maybe PJ and the guys are doing a phenomenal job with recruiting. I'm looking at some of the players that they've been able to get, a lot of 3-star, 4-star guys that were signing up, a lot of offensive linemen. You can never have enough, and the Vikings proved that. But you can never have enough, and you always have to have running backs. And we've signed quite a few running backs as well, even Cole Cabana from Michigan. Yep. So there's players out there that we are getting that I don't think we would have gotten 10 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, that are guys that are coming to the University of Minnesota. I'm pretty excited about it. I think they've done a great job. And this is going to be is it going to be the greatest bowl game in the world? No, but I think Minnesota will show up pretty well down there because they might want to get out of the weather in Minnesota and get down south.
I don't understand, and we've talked about this a lot. The Gophers, every year you're guaranteed a loss that they probably shouldn't have had, but you're also usually guaranteed a win that you didn't think they'd have. And once again, I don't understand why people look at PJ Fleck and grade what he's done as a negative. And you look at this transfer portal as an example of that. The guys that they're getting, 3 stars, 3 stars, 4 stars, they're getting a quarterback from Georgia Tech who, granted, he wasn't the starter there, but he was still there. Zach, is it Piron or Piron? 3 stars, 6'3", 220. He's probably not going to play right out of the gate. My guess is this is Drake Lindsey's job to lose. But once again, when you have a coach like that who's able to get guys on board and say, you know what, I'm going to leave Georgia Tech because I just don't think it's for me, whatever's happening. I don't know that I have a starting job in Minnesota, but I love the culture. I love the coach, love the guys. Like, that's good enough for me to go take a chance. That is a win. And again, those things don't happen without the atmosphere and the culture that PJ creates, or our guy Winston Delatabadere creates, who we love to have on this show regularly because he's so much fun. And these bowl games that they're winning, he's undefeated in bowl games. And some of those, yes, they were not against the toughest opponents. But I was there when they beat Auburn. You know, like, they're legitimate wins. And what it tells me is that PJ and his staff are good enough to have a 3 weeks – to look at film, grade your opponent, figure out what they do well, and then figure out how to capitalize on that to your gain. That's a small thing, but it's not easy to do. It's not easy to just say, okay, I haven't played this team before, to watch all the film you can, and then go out and prove that you're smarter and you have a better group with you to beat them. And again, I know that the Big Ten is a tough conference to win in. It's one of the tough in all of hockey, one of the toughest in all of football. And so, the idea that, well, he's a failure because they didn't win the Big Ten, that's ridiculous. There's lots of teams in the Big Ten that only one wins. Only one wins the Big Ten. And being realistic about where Minnesota is important. So, again, I don't understand why people have these knocks on P.J. Fleck. And when you look at the bowl record and what they've been able to do, and the guys, that the caliber of players that he's able to bring in, I think that's – I don't know another coach that would be able to do that here. I really don't. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the reason I think that there's always that negativity and the people who don't like a PJ is they just don't like his style. They don't like all the different acronyms. There's all there's the things that really don't matter in the big scheme of things, in my opinion, on how you want to analyze how a coach is doing. I wouldn't worry about all those things. I would, matter of fact, say, well, let's see. We academically are doing better than we've probably ever done as a football team. We've done more and more good things on the football field. I mean, think about this, Dave, right now. If you would have said to people 5 years ago, hey, okay, you're going to bring a couple of parts of the Pac-12 into the Big Ten, and where is Minnesota going to line up? Well, we have a better record this year than USC, than UCLA. We also brought in Nebraska quite a few more years back, but we got a better record than Nebraska. Better than Wisconsin, better than Michigan State. We're right there with Michigan, and we're not too far off. And we've played Penn State, who a lot of people think the world of, to a 1 point, a game that we could have won. And they had the fourth down fake punt. And so I just look at it, and there's a lot of anger out there and a lot of pushback. But I think that if you really look at the progress that we've made, I think we just get a little bit better and a little bit better every year. And daggone it, Dave, I had an 8-4 prediction for the Gophers. They finished 7-5. So yeah. I feel pretty decent about that. And I think I feel even better about the bowl game that we've got in front of us, because I think Virginia Tech's always a very tough football team, but I think it's a team that the Gophers could maybe even beat up pretty good based on what I see out of the Gophers and what they've been able to do.
I would make the argument, you said this, and people don't like his shtick. I think people need to get over that, because you have to understand now that that's college football. That's coaching in today's game, even in professional. Like, you have to be the player's coach. You have to be supportive. This is not, Bear Bryant screaming and making you run until you get sick. This is not, that's not the style of coaching that works anymore. And that might be, we talked about Bill Belichick last week. That could be a challenge for him. He's going to have to change the style of the way he does things a little bit, I think, to be successful and to keep guys. He's a curmudgeon. He's old school, and that doesn't necessarily work anymore, I don't think, in today's game. If you look at the coaches and the teams that are doing very well in college football, they are largely led by new style, newer, younger coaches. And that's just the fact. So if you don't like PJ shtick, then I would say it's time to just move on, because it works. And I I've said this before, and I said earlier, that I don't know another coach out there who would come in and have any more success with this program that PJ Fleck has had.
Right. And I think, Dave, one other thing, the last thing I'd say about this whole thing is, we talk about the portal and the NIL all the time, ad nauseum, to be honest with you. But that being said, I think that our NIL is starting to get a little bit more, not a lot, but a little bit more competitive around the Big Ten. So that's another factor that I think going forward could be something that puts us in a better spot than we are, or were, I should say. I think it's really interesting. You're starting to see some match programs, starting to see all kinds of different things, And I think the money raise is going to be something that gives us at least a little bit more competitiveness. Because let's be honest, if a kid's getting recruited by schools and not really sure, and what you know, you're flipping a coin and everything else, but what about the money? I mean, if the money is there for somebody, they're likely going to look towards that if everything else lines up pretty even. So I think it's something that gives us a little bit more competition against some of the big boys.
We have a text here, and I'm going to read this, and I know we don't have a ton of time, but I think it's an important one to read. Mm-hmm. That someone says, Gopher football is no closer to winning a Big Ten title today than when Tracy Claes was replaced 8 years ago, case closed. I couldn't disagree with that more.
Mm-hmm.
They were 9-4, Tracy Claes, last season. They were 5-4 in the Big Ten and tied for fourth in the West. The landscape of the Big Ten has changed considerably. And so the fact that the Gophers are even where they are, I disagree. You look at the roster, you look at the guys coming in, you look at the guys they have. You have Coy Parrish, who's going to spend plenty more time here and be outstanding. They brought in some good guys. You have who I think, and we've all saw it, is a very blue-chip quarterback in Drake Lindsey and Reddy. Mm-hmm. And you're coming off Max Brosmer, who had a great year. I disagree. I think I'm not saying they're going to win the Big Ten. I think it's even harder to win the Big Ten now than it was in 2016. But I would say I do feel like they're much closer now than they were then.
Well, and the fact that we, you know, granted, there's no parties for people taking second to somebody else. But
right.
when you look at the Penn State game, okay, do you think Penn State's a really good football team? I would say everybody would say yes immediately. Well, we had them. We were in position. Did we make it happen? No, but we were there, and that I think that's big. We played it up against Illinois. If I recall, we beat Illinois.
Yep.
Illinois sitting there not too far off of the top of the league.
First time Bielema had ever been beaten by PJ Fleck. Yep,
that's right. Which is a huge thing. And then of course you go through all the different games, the Michigan game, and some of the games where things happened in a different way. But I'll tell you what, we're there. I mean, I think we are there. And competitive to be there, and I think we'll just get a little bit better and a little bit better. Obviously, we got to replace the most important position there is with quarterback. And to your point, maybe it's Drake Lindsey, maybe it's not, maybe it's one of the other guys. But I think at least there's not a huge edge over us the way it once was.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we got to take a quick break. Step aside. We'll come back. You are listening to The Huddle, 830 WCCO. Good song. Yeah, Kirk Cousins is counting his money today. So, just keep this going. I love this song. Who sings it? Don't tell me.
That's it. I mean, I'm working with two of the most rich people I know right now, Dave and Pete.
It's a 90%, 10%. 90% is Pete.
Not true.
Who sings this?
This is the OJs.
The OJs.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's going back.
that's going back to Pete's first birthday.
Gentlemen, the Atlanta Falcons are going to bench Kirk Cousins in favor of Michael Penix Jr. today. He will play. He will be the starter against the New York Giants. Probably a nice safe start for him because the Giants are a flaming pile of garbage.
Boy.
The Falcons have some choices in the offseason, and I'd like to know what you think is most probable. They could release him. They've already paid him $62.5 million this season, and he gets a full guaranteed salary of $27.5 million next season, no matter what. Just let that sink in for a second. Mm-hmm. If he's on the roster the fifth day of the league year in 2025, another $10 million is fully guaranteed. So they've already paid him $62.5 million, $27.5 million. But they're going to save that $10 million, thank goodness, if they release him before 2026. So they could release him. They could keep him as a backup. He would be an incredibly expensive backup. But considering Penix is on his rookie contract, it's not all that different. Kirk Cousins could decide to retire. He's 37, had an Achilles tear. Is he going to retire? Who knows? Falcons could trade him. There's no way on God's green earth that anyone's going to take that contract. Let's just be honest. So if you're the Falcons, Pete, do you release him, keep him as a backup, Hope he retires or try to trade him?
Well, you really hope he wants to retire, sure.
Of course, yeah, please retire, Kirk.
That would be number one. But, you know, the one thing that really does bother me about Kirk, and I was a Kirk defender for a long time, but my defense of Kirk was more about what he did on the field and how he was a better player on the field than he was given credit for. This year is a little bit different, obviously. He hasn't had a great year. It's been very, you know, up and down, a lot of interceptions, and the most in the league for a starting quarterback. And you really just wonder why he's struggling so much, because they have quite a bit of talent. I think when he decided to make this move, we talked about, gosh, he's got the good receivers. He's got a decent offensive line. He's got a really nice tight end. He's got some running backs. And it just hasn't clicked for them. And you know, that's obviously very disappointing. I think that the one thing I compare this to, though, is Kirk always goes for the money, right? And he has done a great job with that. I mean, if you look at his contracts, I'm not sure if this still holds up, but I think that Kirk at one point in time had more money paid as a quarterback than any other quarterback in the history of the NFL.
I believe it. I'll look it up, yeah, but I believe it.
Just because he all the different contracts that he's had over all these years. So that being said, you know, I always look over to Tom Brady because, you know, the GOAT, and you want to see, okay, he actually was taking pay cuts. And a
he
lot
was.
Of people didn't know that. You probably knew that, Dave. Yeah, you're a sports guy. But a lot of people probably didn't know that. But Tom Brady literally would take cuts. Now, why would he take pay cuts? I'll tell you why. He wants to have the best players around him, a guy like Randy Moss or whoever they want to get. So, you know, you got to give all the respect in the world to how he actually handled himself as the quarterback that he is and was at New England and, for that matter, even down in Tampa. Just did an amazing job. It concerns me. And I see all the money. And if it's just about that, gosh, that's embarrassing, isn't it? And I, you know, this is a potential playoff team still, right? I mean, when you really look at where they sit down in that Southern division of the NFC, Atlanta's basically right there with Tampa right now. Sorry, Josh, but they are. They're just behind them. So, you know, it makes me just really wonder. I think the world of Michael Penix. Now we're going to finally get the chance to see him, and I think that'll be exciting. He's had enough time sitting back. He's old enough. The guy played in college for 7 or 8 years. I mean, he was an AARP member, I think, by the time he left. So we'll finally get our opportunity to really see him take over. And a lot of this, I think, really came because of the fact that there were players on the team that weren't happy about what Kirk is doing. And I think that sort of speaks for itself. Talk to the coach. The coach said, you know what, I'm kind of there with you. And I think that Kirk's days in Atlanta are probably very much numbered.
I'm conflicted because I've heard that he's a good locker room guy. He is, you know, model citizen in the locker room, et cetera, et cetera. So it's in a normal year or under a normal salary or circumstances, I think it's great to have him in the locker room. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think this relationship got started on the right foot at all from the draft to now. The way that Atlanta, you know, basically took Penix Jr. without his acknowledgement, which is what kind of signaled this whole thing. So I don't think that's an option. I think he's got to be gone from the team next year, unless you release him and he goes nowhere, and then you sign him as a backup. But I'm sure someone would sign him as backup. I'm not, you know, as ridiculous as it seems. I don't know that trading him is totally off the topic, because a majority of the money that's paid to him has already been paid. So he's not that expensive if you think about the fact that. If you want the best free agent out there, it's going to be Sam Darnold, and you're probably going to have to pay him $40 million. So there's enough teams out there that probably need a quarterback that maybe a trade is possible, unless you realize, and unless the scuttlebutt gets out there, that no one's going to sign him, which if that's the case, then, you know, why would you trade for him? You'll just sign him as a free agent. So there's a lot of interest here. In this, by the way, Kirk Cousins is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th all time in career earnings for quarterbacks. Your buddy Aaron Rodgers is number one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he did get that monster.
Guess how much money he's made over his career. I'm curious if you're even in the neighborhood. It's eye-popping.
What, 600 or so? I don't know. I have
$343,531,000. $343 million. Matt Stafford behind him, your buddy Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, and then Drew Brees ahead of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins ahead of Drew Brees, which is interesting when you look at that. So interesting to see what happens. I'm excited to see Michael Penix Jr. today. I really am. I'm excited to see what he has to do. So I will have my eyes on that game early. We'll take a quick break. The other game we're going to have our eyes on is the Vikings in Seattle. Matthew Collar joins us from Seattle next. Joining us live from Seattle, Matthew Collar on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. My favorite stadium in all of the NFL, whatever it's called. Is it called Lumen Field now, Matt?
Lumen.
It's called Dave Schwartz Field now. They
Dave Schwartz
changed it today. Yep.
I didn't even have to pay anything. That's great.
They heard you were a great storyteller, and they just decided, it is Lumen Field now.
Lumen Field. Getting ready for a pretty big showdown here today. The Vikings obviously already have that playoff spot locked up. And from what you've talked to and who you've talked to this week, the vibe I'm assuming by the Vikings is it's not good enough to just have that locked up, but there's a whole lot more to do. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there was a lot of different ways of saying one week at a time this week because, I mean, it is one of the big stories, right? I mean, the team makes playoffs in a year where I don't think a lot of people even expected them to make the playoffs, much less have it locked up with 3 weeks to go and to try to chase down the entire NFC. But the advantage to winning your division, the advantage to winning the conference is so absolutely massive that I think everybody understands that. And, you know, Garrett Bradbury kind of joked with us like, yeah, there's a lot worse things they could be talking about with your team, like the draft order, you know, and instead it's all the playoff positions. But, you know, the one thing is that they're not actually distracted by the playoff positions because they know if they win all the games, then they win the conference. It's a pretty simple formula for this team, but they also know that there's three really tough teams that are waiting for them, including Seattle today, really tough game next week against Green Bay, and then, of course, week 18 against the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, I mean, this is a position that the Minnesota Vikings have not been in some time. I guess 2017 would have been the last time we were really talking about winning the whole conference. Maybe a little bit in 2022, but they were kind of fading at that point. This team has gotten stronger as it's gone along down the stretch. So they are in a great position here. But, yeah, nobody's saying, good job, we won the playoffs. They kind of actually laughed at us a little bit about making the playoffs. Like, we didn't celebrate that. We're trying to do much more.
Matthew, a quick question on the health of Seattle. What does it look like right now? Geno Smith, Sam Howell, is it going to be Howell today? Is it going to be Geno Smith? If Geno Smith gets in there, how long does he last? What does it look like to you?
Yeah, Geno Smith practiced in full for the entire week, so he's going to start. And they better hope that he's fine because the way that last week went was just such a joke for Sam Howell. I mean, we, you know, talk about backup quarterbacks all the time, and, you know, a couple times Nick Mullins has come in a game and completed a pass and things like that. Well, last week, Sam Howell didn't look prepared at all. And the thing about Sam Howell is that he takes a ton of sacks. So if he were to have to play today, I mean, that is massive, massive advantage to the Vikings. But the thing about it is the offensive line for Seattle has had a really tough year, and they're facing Brian Flores' defense, Jonathan Grenard at the peak of his powers. You know, Blake Cashman was causing heck for the Chicago Bears last week. So even with Geno Smith, he's done a decent job this season of dealing with the fact that their offensive line is pretty bad, but now being a little bit hobbled, a little bit slowed down, is he able to still move in the pocket as well as he would have before? Because even when we saw Jordan Love have to play against the Vikings when he was coming off that injury and couldn't quite move as well, he didn't play very well at the very beginning of that game. So, you know, I think Seattle has really leaned so heavily also on Geno Smith. Are they going to try to run the football a little bit more today to get going early on in the game? But They're kind of an offense that just relies on Geno dropping straight back. You know how we talk about the Vikings running play action all the time? Seattle doesn't even really do that. They just drop Geno straight back every single play and hope. And I think Brian Flores should have a pretty good idea of what he's going to be going after today.
Yeah, hope not a great strategy when it comes to professional football. Matthew Collar joining us from Purple Insider on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. You wrote today, and I'm so glad that you did, about Kevin O'Connell and being into the Coach of the Year contention, because I don't think that he's gotten enough talk about this and in respect in this category. But considering where this team was thought to, as you said, be at this point in the year, considering what he did with a cast-off quarterback like Sam Darnold and turned him into what he is, what more does Kevin O'Connell have to do to be considered a lock for Coach of the Year?
Well, he goes 3-0 here. That would be helpful. You know, but you bring up an interesting point that's really fascinated me for the entire year, which is just the lack of attention on the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, even when they were 5-0, it was like, oh, this is kind of a cute story, and I think everybody expected that to go away after they lost two games in a row, that I don't think anyone had them, you know, reeling off the next 7 wins in a row after that. I also think that most people expected Sam Darnold to turn into a pumpkin after that. And that, I think, is where Kevin O'Connell – I mean, there's 100 areas where Kevin O'Connell has done an incredible job this year, but one of the best has been after that Jacksonville game, there was the very real possibility that it just went to hell. And I think we had seen hot and cold streaks from Darnold in the past, and everyone thought, all right, he's going to come out and throw a bunch of interceptions. And the way they worked together to resolve some of the issues that happened in Jacksonville and the performances he put on, it's not crazy to say he's been a top 3 or 4 quarterback in the league since that Jacksonville game. He has played at an MVP type of level, and I think that's great coaching right there from Kevin O'Connell to just put the foundation down to solve the problems. And that wasn't what I wrote about, but that's what has impressed me the most. I think what I wrote about is really, you know, the foundation is a great word for it, because you go all the way back to the offseason, and he's laid the foundation with this team that he thought they were going to be better than this. And it's not just something you say to your team, oh, we're going to show them or something. Kevin O'Connell truly looked around at that roster and said, there is no way that we're going to be at the bottom of the division. We are way too good for this. And then when it starts to come to fruition, everybody buys in. The coach knows what he's talking about. The belief of this team behind him, the selflessness that they have on this roster, the leadership they have. You know, now looking in hindsight with the way he's coached the team, it makes a lot more sense that they're here. 12-2 doesn't make any sense, but it makes a lot more sense that they're in this playoff race, and they've been as good behind Kevin O'Connell as they've been.
Matthew, we've got 12 wins, which is really, really impressive. But the only part that's not is the fact that two of those wins, they only had two winning teams that we beat. So it's one of those things where I think I understand why people still question what the Vikings have been able to do to be 12-2. And their wins were over Houston and Green Bay. But when I look at this whole thing, it's kind of concerning from that standpoint, just a little bit. I'm not saying there's anything terrible about it, and I think Sam Darnold, he did the right thing. He came to a place where we have Justin Jefferson and Addison and Naylor and Hockenson. Hockenson, obviously, most of the year was out, but Oliver stepped up and Munt, and they've done a fantastic job of doing what they need to do to win these football games. Is there anything about this team that you look at and you say, you know what, I am a little bit concerned about this? Mine would be probably Cam Robinson. Well, how about you?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that. He's definitely not on the same level of Christian Darrisaw. I think that the one thing you can go back to a little bit is that some offenses have had a formula to stay on the field. And Arizona was probably their worst game that they've played, and they got away with it, won at the end. But it was probably the worst game that they had played of all of these wins. And what Arizona did was they ran extremely well with James Conner. They threw a lot of short passes with Kyler Murray, and then kind of lucked out when Kyler Murray threw them the football. And I would even say the same thing for the Atlanta game, where Cousins was completing passes and they were running the football and staying on the field all day long, and then Cousins threw them the football. Well, you know, when you go into the playoffs, it's not as likely that the playoff quarterbacks are going to make those huge mistakes because those other teams are good too. And I do think you make a fair point about the schedule. As much as it's hard to win this many games in a row in the NFL, and there's been some competitive teams that they've faced, mm-hmm. they haven't had a game in a while that was against a real beast. And I'm not even sure that's today. It's probably next Sunday against the Green Bay Packers is when you play one of those teams that could actually win the Super Bowl. But that has been a while. So the fact that, you know, veteran quarterbacks or teams that can run the ball have been able to sustain drives and keep Justin Jefferson waiting over there on the sideline to go run some routes, that to me is a little bit on the concerning side. I think the only good thing about that is that the Vikings defense should be getting healthier down the stretch, you know, with the fact that Ivan Pace Jr. will get back on the field pretty soon here. Stephon Gilmore is coming back today. I think that helps them a little bit, but I think when it comes to all these NFC teams that are really good, none of them are perfect. They all have some Achilles heel, something that they don't do quite as well. Philadelphia does not pass the ball as well as the Vikings, right? So, I mean, you've got every one of these teams. Detroit's defense is all banged up. They're all good, but there is something that could get them down the stretch. And I think we're going to learn a lot in these three games of how strong this Vikings team really is going into the playoffs.
Matthew Coller joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. You spoke about injuries. Tell me if you know where Harrison Smith is for today. I know that they brought someone up just to make sure. Is he in, out, or how dicey is this situation? Because he's obviously a huge part of this defense.
Yeah, that's truly questionable because it raised the red flag when he missed a Thursday practice. If a veteran player, misses a Wednesday, you go, okay, it's probably just a rest day. But on a Thursday, that's a pretty important practice for the week, especially on a short week. Harrison Smith would not do that unless his foot was about to fall off. So that is pretty concerning right there. And I wonder if they wanted to. This is just a theory because they have not announced the inactives yet for today, but my theory would be that they want at least Seattle to have to prepare for Harrison Smith. But when they call up a safety from the practice squad, Bobby McCain, it definitely raises an eyebrow. Although I would say I have seen Harrison Smith play through just about every injury that the man has ever had, probably even to his detriment at some points where people say, oh, you know, he's not having a great year or whatever else, and you don't realize how much he's doing just to get back on the football field. But if there's a day that you would want to say, Harry, take this one off because you're in the playoffs, it's probably today, so to get healthy for next week against Green Bay and then, of course, Detroit in Week 18. So I would not be shocked if he didn't play, but you never know because it is Harrison Smith.
I'll give you one last thing real quick that you brought up Philly and their inability really to throw the ball very well, but they run the ball extremely well, as we all know. And they, obviously that was a monstrous signing. Green Bay, sort of the same thing. Teams that can run the football. I look at the Atlanta game. They ran for almost 160 yards. They put up almost 500 yards on defense that we all brag about all the time, right, about how great B-flow is and all this and that. We give up a lot of yards. We don't always give up all the points, but the yards. Should we be concerned about that? Because I think running the football during the playoffs is really a big piece of giving an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because in front of our eyes, we watch every single play of every single Vikings game. And so we definitely nitpick the team that we watch more than anyone else. Because, I mean, if you look at, and it is a concern about the running defense, but if you look at the team statistically, they're one of the best run defenses in the entire NFL. So that's where I feel like they're really going to get tested these next couple weeks because Seattle does have a good running back. Green Bay, especially, we know, loves to run the football. Matt LaFleur is a wizard when it comes to that. And then in Week 18, you know, Detroit has that incredible offensive line. Even if David Montgomery is out, their other guy is better than Jahmyr Gibbs. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tested as we go forward. I think that we know now what Brian Flores' defense is, which is it's not perfect. You can find some holes in the zones. You can run the football at times against them. But also they are able to create big plays, turnovers, sacks, strip sacks, pressures, things like that. And so sometimes you kind of have to live with the other team having some success at something, knowing that you're going to blow up another play. But, you know, defense is always hard to figure out in the playoffs. Last year, the 49ers had one of the best defenses in the league, and then, you know, they almost got run out of the building by Detroit before that failed fourth down kind of turned things around in the NFC Championship game. So, I don't know. I really do think that these last few games, we're going to walk into the playoffs either thinking, wow, this team is really, really strong, or you know what, maybe they're going to need some luck if they're going to go deep in the playoffs. But I think these three games are going to tell us a lot.
Matthew Collar, thanks as always. I hope you packed your sunscreen in Seattle. It's nice and sunny there today.
Let's see. Let me look out my window. Not great. No, pretty bad.
Oh, no way. It's raining? I haven't heard anything about this.
No, pretty gray out here. Not looking great. Should be a wonderful walk over to the stadium for me.
Oh, enjoy yourself out there, my friend. Thanks as always. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, buddy.
Thanks, all right, take care, guys.
Matthew Collar, Purple Insider. If you don't subscribe, do subscribe. Purple Insider is a great one. PurpleInsider.football. It's a great name, too. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap up the show. I'm being ripped on the text line, so I'll address that next. StylesFinancial.com, talking text line. This is actually pretty good. I appreciate this. The last two seasons, the Gophers football team, are 12-12 in the regular season, and, quote, the storyteller believes they're closer to winning a Big Ten title. Good luck with that. Okay, listen. In 2016, the Gophers finished third in the West at 5-4. Okay, the only two teams ahead, the two teams of that division, now better than them, are Illinois this year and Iowa, who they beat. Illinois, who they beat, and Iowa, who they beat head to head. Okay, if you look at that roster of 2016, the quarterback was a senior, Mitch Leidner. The quarterback here incoming is graduating, but you have a blue chip recruit behind him. I'm just saying that it's the same team, but better. I'm not saying that one team would have won the other. I'm saying the roster that's coming in, when you have Coy Parrish for three more years, when you have these guys that are coming through the transfer portal, I think for my money, Pete, the future of the Gopher football team right now is brighter than it was in 2016.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it's even close.
It's not even close. What the talent, and anybody who absolutely goes to the games on a consistent level and watches what we look like on the field, what we match up against, no matter who comes to our stadium or on obviously away games as well, I think we line up with anybody. I'm not afraid of anybody. Why should we be? Look at what Penn State has been able to do so far this year. Look at what Michigan has done. Look at what Ohio State has done. And that, you know, and you look at what we do against these teams, we are oftentimes extremely competitive. Once in a while we get a win. But even if we're not winning, we are getting somewhere. We're making progress. And I honestly believe that with PJ, we're not only middle of the pack, we're kind of getting closer and closer to being upper middle of the pack. And at some point, if we get the ball bouncing our way, and football bounces a different way every time, but if we do, we have a really legitimate shot. And that's not just pie in the sky and all the rest of it. You look at our talent, we've got the talent to compete with anybody.
If you look at the teams, they could have very easily, if there was still a West division, could have very easily won the Big Ten West this year. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They beat Illinois. They beat Iowa. No, they didn't beat Iowa. Excuse me, they lost Iowa. They beat Illinois. I don't see the negativity. I see things going in the right way. Someone now says to me, "You are right," from a longtime season ticket holder. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's a truer word. I love hearing those three words. My birthday present to you, Pete. You are right. The best three words in the English language. We're out of time. Happy birthday, my friend. I hope you enjoy Hawaii. Happy holidays to you and Josh and to all of you out there. I hope you enjoy this week and get some great time. Whatever you celebrate, I hope you get some great time with your family and enjoy that and cherish it. I hope everybody has a great week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.